أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، سيدنا الممجد بشير المصدق، المصطفى الأمجد محمود الأحمد أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، ولعنة الله على الظالمين من الأولين والآخرين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد وقوله الحق، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لله ملك السماوات والأرض ويوم تقوم الساعة يومئذ يخسر المبطلون. ترى كل أمة جاثية، كل أمة تدعى إلى كتابها، اليوم تجزون ما كنتم تعملون. هذا كتابنا ينطق عليكم بالحق، إنا كنا نستنسخ ما كنتم تعملون. فأما الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فيدخلهم ربهم في رحمته، ذلك هو الفوز المبين. وأما الذين كفروا أفلم تكن آياتي تتلى عليكم فاستكبرتم وكنتم قوما مجرمين. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Awaited Savior of Humanity, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, my respected teachers, elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There are three things which, according to our ulama, are predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These predeterminations will end up guiding the patterns of history and the way in which history is ultimately written. Amongst the most important studies in history is the study of the rise and fall of civilizations. To be able to understand the patterns in any nation, in any society, as to what made them successful and climb to the heights in which they did, but also to understand those events that preceded and ultimately caused their downfall. The rise and fall of civilizations has been studied for hundreds of years, and certainly the first individual to structurally study this, the first individual to comprehensively study this, probably the forefather of sociology, was Ibn Khaldun in his text Al-Muqaddimah, the introduction. After that, a great number of other scholars have also done so, probably most notably Arnold J. Toynbee, and a number of other scholars have sought to be able to study this. The patterns of those societies that are successful, as well as those that fall, have been mentioned in dozens, if not hundreds, of ayat of the Holy Quran. And this is a very rigorous study in and of itself. Of course, you all know how many different ancient civilizations are mentioned within the Quran, and the reasons as to why they have been successful and the reasons as to why they have failed. Our ulama, may Allah bless them, have mentioned that there might be three types or three things which are predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relation to the rise and fall of civilizations. And anyone who wishes to study why a civilization is successful or failing needs to look at these three assumptions that go into it. The first is called the inevitability of human freedom. Al-Hatmiyatu Hurriyatul Bashariyya. In the idea that the human community have to make their own choices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predetermined that we are given this opportunity to be able to do so. The second is the inevitability of gain, loss, and consequences of those freedoms that we are given, which is referred to as al-hatmiyatul kasb wal-jaza'. Whatever choices we make, there are going to be outcomes, both good and bad consequences for our communities. And lastly, the third predetermination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has is the inevitability of Allah curtailing the human freedoms and His decision to step in and make a change in the matter at hand. Al-Hatmiyatu Hudud Al-Hurriya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He decides to make a change or He decides that this shall no longer go on, this is a predetermined matter by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 43rd chapter of Quran to be revealed in the order of revelation, the Tartib al-Nuzuli, was Surah Ar-Ra'd, chapter number 13 of the Quran. Number 13 in terms of the Tartib of the Mus'haf, in the way in which we read the Quran today. If you recall, in previous nights, we mentioned some of the order in which the early Madinan surahs were revealed. We stated that the more you reflect on the content and the theme of those surahs, you will have an opportunity to understand what was taking place in the early period of Meccan development. Who can remember what was the first chapter to be revealed? Surah Al-Baqarah. After that we have Al-Anfal. After that we have Al-Imran. After that we mentioned that there was Surah Al-Mumtahina. And after that surah, An-Nisa, Jazakumullah khairu jaza. This gave us a picture of what was taking place in the earliest periods of the Madinan community and the types of discourse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to reveal in order to respond to, reflect the challenges that were occurring at that time. One of the middle surahs of the Madinan period of revelation was Surah Ar-Ra'd, chapter number 13 of the Quran. It was revealed after Surah Muhammad. In Surah Ar-Ra'd, amongst the discussions that are present, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the Madinan, Meccan communities and tells them, "Do you not see with your own eyes how I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, am now curtailing your own lands and the gains that the Madinan community are having is chipping away at the independence and the power that the Meccan community has? Do you not see this with your own eyes?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks. As much as there is the freedom for the human being, Allah also enters into the fray and He helps the mu'mineen. And He asks the community, both Madinan believers, as well as Meccan the polytheists, "Do you not see tribe after tribe, region after region, nation after nation, one by one they are falling to the Muslim society? And as the Muslim society grows and gains strength after strength, do you not see that as it grows, where must be faltering? The others are faltering. And as they become defeated, the Muslim community grows and takes over those communities and brings them into the fold of Islam." This is one of the themes in Surah Ar-Ra'd. Let's have a look at a couple of verses and then think through some of the things that were occurring at this sort of period of time, across this sort of stage of the marahil of development of the city of Medina. Surah Ar-Ra'd, verses 25 and 26. as an introduction to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the following. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَالَّذِينَ يَنْقُذُونَ أَحْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ اللَّعْنَةُ وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ. Those who break the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after agreeing to it, meaning that they've made a commitment with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, and they are continuously breaking the commitments that they have made. Those who break the covenant of Allah after they agree to it and sever that which God has ordered to be joined and spread corruption on the earth, for them is the curse of Allah. They will have the worst of abodes to come in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And then he follows this up by saying that Allah determines that their sustenance, their circumstances can be straightened, can be closed off if he so wills. Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha wa yaqdiru wa farihu bil hayati dunya wa mal hayatu dunya fil akhirati illa mata'. God extends, but he also restricts the sustenance to whom he so pleases. They rejoice in the things that they have of this world, the life of this world, but it is simply a passing pleasure compared to what is in the hereafter. In Surah Al-Ra'd here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is introducing the relationship between breaking the covenant that is made with Allah, the Meccan community, and breaking their commitment with Medina. And as an outcome, Allah, if he pleases, will restrict the rizq that you have, the growth that you have in a society. And as an outcome of this, you will see that your community is the one that falters. Over these years, from the year 2 after Hijrah, all the way to 10, but especially in these years of 4, 5, 6 after Hijrah, there was a number of delegations and letters that the Holy Prophet of Islam, Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, was sending to world leaders. Many of us, what we know is that there were a number of battles that took place, skirmishes that took place. And if you begin to ask even a madrasa student, right, tell me about Badr, tell me about Uhud, tell me about Khaybar and Khandaq and Tabuk and so on, I imagine our children will be able to tell us this. But ask them, tell us about the letter that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi sent to Bahrain in order to bring it to Islam. I imagine many of our students would not know about these letters. As I said to you in the previous nights, one of the gravest mistakes that the Muslim biographers made was the way in which they wrote the biography, the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, and based it upon the ghazawat, excluding details of various other important points of his life, thinking that this was the way in which they had a pride on how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi spread Islam. And as a result, what we stated was that the Muslims and non-Muslims misread the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. Because of course, if the Orientalists start reading a biography of 10 years in Medina with 100 different skirmishes, and say 10 battles a year, 10 skirmishes a year, 10 raids a year, you're telling me that this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi liberated the Arabs from their pagan practices of war and hatred upon each other, tribalism? The evidence is to the contrary. And so even the Muslim community misunderstood this. Whereas when the Muslim community realizes the very number, again, over 100 different letters to world leaders and powers inviting them to Islam, they immediately receive a different picture of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, a much different strategy. Now, in this period of time, this is what was occurring. I'll mention a few of the letters that are very famous that were sent out. And I brought with me one of the most important books that, in my humble opinion, has been published in recent years. And this is by Professor John Andrew Morrow, which is The Covenants of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi with the Christians of the world. And not only the covenants with the Christians, but covenants with many other communities. I highly recommend this book be read. There's a much smaller version, and then this is a much denser read. It will take a lot more time. But a person who really wishes to study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, in my humble opinion, this is an absolutely necessary book. Now, at this time, there were a number of different letters, messengers sent to different parts of the world in order to offer a treaty, an accord, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi could strategically expand the Muslim Ummah whilst ensuring that he is picking off his enemies one by one by one. For example, the Prophet sends a letter to Hawda ibn Ali, who was the leader of the region of Yamama. Then, back then, a very important region. Today, less so by comparison. But then it was a very important region. I'll give you some examples of the letters he sent and the types of responses that he got back. And I want you to think about the strategy that the Prophet uses in this period from 2 to 5, 2 to 6 after Hijrah, where we've reached in the development of the city of Medina. He sends this letter to the head of Yamama and invites him to Islam. Hawda bin Ali responds to him and says, "I believe in what you have sent. However, I want a position, a high position within your community." Right? You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Basically, I want a position whereby if something happens to you tomorrow, then I'm able to take a senior position. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi responded by saying that this is not for me. I don't get to pick the people who are leaders after me. Or even in this time, right? This is something which is directed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, I'll make you close. We'll have good relationships and we'll be able to help your community learn more about Islam. It is said that he accepted this degree of proximity that was being offered to him, but before he was able to come closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, Hawda passed away. He died. But still, the region of Yamama became Muslim off the back of this interaction, the positive interaction that took place between Hawda bin Ali and the Holy Prophet of Islam. This is one. You'll remember in Abyssinia, when the pressure and the torture was on the early Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi sent a group of early Muslims to King Negus, where? In Abyssinia. When the Prophet moved to Medina, he wrote another letter to King Negus and said to him, "You have been looking after my family, my friends who have been there for a while. I now invite you to come to Islam." And as you know, King Negus actually accepted Islam and he sent his son Araha to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi in order for Arha to be a companion for him in the city of Medina. Although the entire state of Abyssinia didn't convert immediately, at least King Negus converted immediately and accepted Islam. The ahadith mention that when King Negus died, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was very aggrieved and very saddened by his death. Abyssinia starts coming closer towards Islam. So far, has a single sword been raised? No. After this, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi sent a letter to the Emperor of Rome, the Byzantine Empire, which you know that was one of the largest empires at that time. Who was the Emperor of Rome? Who knows? Emperor Heraclius. He sent a letter to Emperor Heraclius. Initially, Heraclius inclined to Islam. He himself said, "Yes, I'm willing to go towards Islam." Do you know what happened? His advisors said to him, "Don't go towards Islam." And as a result, he listened to his advisors. His advisors made him respond angrily and bitterly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, And as an outcome, he felt a threat. He decided to conquer parts of the Levant, and having conquered parts of Syria, the Christians in Syria, he then used those Christians in Syria to march towards the Battle of Tabuk. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi had to go with 30,000 soldiers to the largest potential battle in his lifetime. Heraclius did not accept that he would become Muslim. After this, he sent a letter to Muqawqis, who was the king of Alexandria, Egypt, who led the Coptic faith of Christianity. As you remember, when Muqawqis responded to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, he says in his letter back, "I always knew there was going to be a prophet to come, but I believed he was going to come to Syria. Whilst I'm investigating this matter," he sends two maids as a gift to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. One of those the Prophet marries, Maria bint Shim'un al-Qubtiyya, and she becomes the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. So again, positive relationship with Egypt as well, another large state, especially with the history and power of Egypt with the Nile at that time. He sends a letter to Bahrain, Mundhir ibn Sawa', and says to him, "Come towards Islam." Mundhir responds to him and says, "Ya Rasulullah, I believe in you. However, my community is a mixed community. We have Magians and we have Jews within the community. Not all of them are believing in you. Half the community has accepted your faith. The other half has rejected you. You tell me, what should I do?" Now think about this. If half of the country of Bahrain immediately accepts Islam, and the ruler accepts, and he says, "My sword is your sword," if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi was a bringer of the sword, what would he have done? He would have said, "Conquer that half of Bahrain." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi didn't say this. He responded by saying, "Leave them free to be able to worship in the religion that they want. However, my command to you is two, O Mundhir. Number one, I want my messengers, my ambassadors, to have free reign to be able to go to all the Magian and Jewish communities and preach Islam to them. Number two, you have a temple of fire worship in Bahrain. This has to come down immediately, because we do not tolerate and accept idol worshippers in this land any longer." Mundhir accepted, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wrote another letter to him saying, "I am very pleased with your justice, the way in which you have dealt with your own communities. Carry on in your position. You are very pleased, or we are very pleased with how you have done this." He sent letters to Amman. He even sent letters to the monks of Sinai. Across 100 different areas and regions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi sent community letters and made covenants with these groups. Now, this is an important point. Bear this in mind. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi was making covenants with these different groups, he was so strategic. Do you know what he wrote? He wrote to them all along, is by and large the same sort of letter. The skeleton of the letter was always the same. It was just the body of the letter that changed a little bit. You know what he would say to them? He would write and say a letter, or provide an opportunity to come and make an ahad between himself and these groups that was too good to turn down. Now you know where the real phrase, "I'll offer them a deal that they can't refuse," where it really comes from, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi would actually offer them something that was so good. You know what he would say? "Peace be upon the one who is going to follow guidance. I offer you a peace treaty. You will be able to keep your lands. You will be able to keep your own position of authority, your leadership within the community. You can even keep your own religions. All we want is for you to be able to create an accord between you and us, and you pay the jizya tax. And as a result, if you pay the jizya tax, any time you are attacked, you will have the entire Muslim ummah that comes to your support. Now think about this very carefully. It's so amazing. Imagine Medina, I'm picking a number for the sake of picking it, right? Imagine Medina has 10,000 people, 30,000 people, 50,000 people. If you are a tribe, if you are a small town, maybe your tribe has 500 people, maybe your town has 1,000 people, ala sabil al-farad, right? If you get a letter from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi saying, look, come towards Islam, but if you do not, you will have to pay the jizya tax. But in return, if you are ever attacked, you will have the entire army of Islam behind you. You might have 30,000 swords at your defense. There's 1,000 of you. You're being offered 30,000 swords. Do you not imagine you would accept that? Wouldn't you accept it? Of course you would. Now, what this meant was one of two choices. Either one, they accepted Islam and became part of the Muslim Ummah, or they accepted the strategy of the Prophet and became part of the wider Ummah in terms of defense and mutual agreements of working with each other. Think about this very carefully. If you are the Quraysh, and yesterday you have trade agreements with this 1,000 people, these 500 people, and week after week, month after month, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is making agreements with them, picking them off one by one, picking them off one by one. Either they're becoming Muslim, or they're in agreement now that they're going to work with the Muslim Ummah, which immediately says that they're no longer able to work with the polytheists of Mecca. What happens? The number of polytheistic tribes are reducing month on month. The amount of trade and wealth and power that the polytheists have is reducing month after month after month. And if it's reducing here, where is it going? Immediately into the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The strategy was so simple. Add and add. And as you add, now you have 31,000 swords. Now you have 32,000 swords. Which tribe is not wanting to make an agreement with an ever-increasing power of the Muslim Ummah? All along, the numbers on one side are dwindling. And as they dwindle, the exact same amount is coming to the Muslim numbers. Now, look at this set of ayah from Surah Al-Ra'd. Allahu Akbar, the Quran, brothers and sisters, it's phenomenal. Look what it says. Surah Al-Ra'd, verse 41 and 42. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِ الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. Have they not seen how we deal with the earth, eroding it, cutting it from its sides? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِ الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. From all sides, it's becoming naqis. It's becoming smaller and shorter, stage by stage. Do the Meccans not see this? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِ الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. وَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمْ لَا مُعَقَّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ وَهُوَ السَّرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Have they not seen how we deal with the earth, making it smaller and smaller for them, eroding it from all sides? Allah decides. Allah makes his judgment. Allah makes the outcome occur. No one can modify his decision. He is swift in calling to account. Subhanallah. They're seeing all of their powers becoming eroded. And as it becomes eroded, it's being placed into the hands of the Muslim community. Allah then follows up with the subsequent verse. وَقَدْ مَكَرَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلِلَّهِ الْمَكْرُ جَمِيعًا يَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الْكُفَّارُ لِمَنْ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ. And those who lived before them, those communities that lived before the Quraysh, before the polytheists, your people who rejected Allah, they schemed against the messengers of Allah. But ultimately, the plan belongs to Allah alone. He knows what every soul earns, and the unbelievers will soon know to whom the future belongs.
in this period of the Madinan development, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran the stage by stage development of all of these societies coming closer towards Islam, either literally converting or the Prophet has an aqad with them in order for them to receive his messengers, to have free roaming for their messengers to come and speak about Islam, to spread Islam. And as a result, community after community became Muslim. This verse is very interesting if you think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you know when your society is on the downfall. You know when your power is dwindling. You will see it. And Allah's judgment is such that none can stop it from happening. You know, a couple of days ago, you'll probably know that Steve Bannon, have you all heard of Steve Bannon? Yeah, Steve Bannon is the white supremacist who was one of the three in charge of the Trump campaign, right, in 2016. Do you remember the other two people who were his managers, his campaign managers? They had different times, different people came in accordance with different needs of their agenda. When it was moving to more white supremacist, it needed this. When it was moving to a more legal discussion, they needed something else. There was Corey Lewandowski, and there was Paul Manafort. And then Steve Bannon. All three of these are in jail. You know that, right? All three have been arrested. All three are in jail. When the house of cards falls around you, you will see it occurring. Or when the White House falls around you, you will see it occurring. When your own people are the ones who are going in handcuffs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you will see it from all sides coming around you until eventually just you are left to be dragged out of the White House in handcuffs as well. Now here, we need to be able to understand this as an introduction. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu in this section of the marahil of the development of Medina is giving us the picture of the growth of the Muslim community and the decline of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I, we know very well that the earliest Muslim communities, especially Madinan communities, they were very much working for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by and large. When they went into battle, they had given everything. They already were short of money. They had nothing when they left Mecca. They had very little when they divided what they had in Medina. And so there was a sincerity. And you also know that creeping in to these Muslims was a nifaq, that sometimes they no longer wanted to go to the battle. Sometimes they felt that they could take the battle easy. Sometimes that they were doing it not for establishing Islam anymore, but for the spoils that they would get in the victories of the battles. The niyyah was shifting. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, in these stages of the marahil of the Quran and the development of the Madinan society, has to start addressing the issue of nifaq, creeping in, the laziness that is creeping in, the ego that is creeping in, the desire of position and power that is starting to creep in. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this, and He does this in a particular way. And He addresses them by telling them that if you don't do khair, and I'm using a specific word, please follow the word. If you do not continue to do khair, goodness, sometimes Allah calls it amal salih, good deeds. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. There is belief and there is amal salih. If you do not do amal khair, the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dwindle to the same extent that you too also pull back your support for Islam. And so Allah Jalla Jalaluhu had to push the society forward in the way in which they were acting. Have a look at these couple of verses and you'll see how Allah now addresses these issues that are arising within the Muslim community. Chapter number 8, Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 19:19. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In tastaftihu faqad ja'akum al-fath. If you have been praying for victory, seeking victory, O believers, victory has now indeed come to you. They were successful in Badr. Uhud, of course, was a stalemate. And then the battles of Khaybar and Khandaq, Ahzab, are taking place. All along, they are making their ad'iyah for victory, right? In tastaftihu faqad ja'akum al-fath. If you're praying and seeking victory, Allah has given you your victories. However, now Allah changes the tone of this ayah. وَإِن تَنْتَهُ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If you abstain from sinning, it will be for your own good. Allah introduces the issue of khayr here in the Madanan surahs. This is very important. وَإِن تَنْتَهُ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If you abstain from sinning, from dhunub, it will be better for you. وَإِن تَعُودُ نَعُدْ. And if you revert to sinning, if you go back to the types of things that we are helping you to abstain from, that is creeping within the community, وَإِن تَعُودُ, if you return back to it, نَعُدْ, we will revoke our help that we have been giving to you. Subhanallah. It's a heavy verse, isn't it? Look how Allah is addressing the believers, how He needs to change their behavior. وَإِن تَعُودُ نَعُدْ وَلَنْ تُغْنِيَ عَنْكُمْ فِئَتُكُمْ شَيْئًا. And never will your community be of any avail to you if this happens. وَلَوْ كَثُرَتْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Never will your community be of avail to you if you turn back and go towards sinning, however great the numbers are. Amazing ayah. I've told you in previous nights, imagine you are the recipient of this verse. Imagine Allah is telling this to you. وَلَنْ تُغْنِيَ عَنْكُمْ فِئَتُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ كَثُرَتْ. Even if you're 30, 100,000, brothers, even if you are 2 billion people on this planet today, like the Muslim Ummah, Allah's assistance can be withdrawn. The numbers here are not important. وَلَوْ كَثُرَتْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is actually with the believers. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the community that if you return back to dhunub, within these matters of growing the Muslim ummah, as I'm growing it for you, that's it, my help is... That's it now. It's just going to be you battling against the kuffar, against the mushrikeen. But if you do khair, amal khair, my support is with you. Now, look at this next verse. This is truly interesting. Put these two verses together, huh? Do tadabbur of Quran with me. Let's ponder together. Allah says, do amal khair. And then He says the following. And this time, this verse is in chapter number 28, verse number 84. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the following. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِنْهَا. Whoever does good, he will gain even more from it. There is more khair to come from that one amal. And you know very well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, if you do one good, Allah will give you 10 back for it, right? مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِنْهَا وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى الَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ إِلَّا مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And if you do an evil, know that the evil deed will be requited, given back to you with the equal of what you have done. But do good, and you'll get more out of it. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing these verses to the people in Medina. And He's telling them, you are growing. Country after country is turning towards you. Tribe after tribe is turning towards you. But don't allow nifaq to enter into you. Don't allow laziness to enter into you. Don't allow a change of niyyah to enter into you. Do amal khair and you will see that this grows. Now what I want to do is before I come back to this, there's a couple of verses I need to introduce you to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us in Surah Maryam, chapter number 19, four verses in which he talks about two types of powers. A power which is of arrogance, istikbariyun, and then there are those who their power is built on amal salih. And what happens when these two powers clash? You understand the tone of what I'm saying to you, yes? The subtext of what I'm saying to you. In this set of verses in Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents a power that has all the potential power in the earth. It has the weapons, it has the embassies, it has the military bases, it has the reputation. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets up another community and he asks, who do you think is going to outlive each other? Which community is going to be the one that continues on, that lasts between these two groups? Is it the one that has all the power and the wealth? Or is it the group, the community, the nation that is based on amal salih? Listen to these sets of verses. Chapter 19, verses 72 to 76. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the following. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thumma nunajji alladhina attaqaw wa nadharu adh-dhalimina fiha jithiyya. Then we will save, we will deliver those who are mindful of God, and we will leave the dhalimin on their knees. This is a promise from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Remember, Quraysh are seeing this. They're seeing it with their own eyes as their society crumbles around them. These series of verses are introduced in this way. We're going to deliver successful those who have taqwa. And those who are dhalimeen, they will come to us on their knees. The verses continue. وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And when our ayat, our clear communications are recited to them, the disbelievers, قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This is a dialogue. The disbelievers will say to the believers with pride, with arrogance, أَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ خَيْرٌ مَقَامًا وَأَحْسَنُ نَدِيَّا. Tell us, which party is more powerful? Which party is the stronger? Which party is going to be the best in terms of abiding? خَيْرٌ مَقَامًا. They have the best maqamat. They have the best stations. وَأَحْسَنُ نَدِيَّا. And the best assemblies. Think about this very carefully. The kuffar are projecting their strength onto the believers in this ayah. We have the best maqamat. We have the best stations, the best military bases in the world. We have the most number of military bases in the world. And we are ahsanu nadiyya. We have the best assemblies for ourselves. Right? We have, you know, in California, we have the best of technological advancements going. We have the United Nations. We have all of these institutions in our pockets, the World Bank, all of it. We are خَيْرٌ مَقَامًا وَأَحْسَنُ نَدِيَّ أَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ. Which one is better? Us or you, they say. You understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now responds, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هُمْ أَحْسَنُوا أَثَاثًا وَرِئْيَا. Allah responds, but how many generations, how many communities have we destroyed before them? They were even stronger in possessions and appearance. People before them, they were more powerful. but we destroyed them. They looked better. They had a better reputation across the world, and yet we destroyed them. Do you really think that you are the powerful enough to maintain? قُلْ Allah says now to the believers, قُلْ They've had their say. They've got to use their, you know, they've got to puff their chest out with their, the things that they have, that they think that they're able to control the world with. قُلْ You say now. مَنْ كَانَ فِي الضَّلَالَةِ فَلْيَمْدُدْ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ مَدَّا Say, as for him who is in a state of dalala, lost, let it be known that Allah, the All-Merciful, lengthens the span of their days. Huh? The mu'mineen are supposed to respond and say, yes, you may have this momentary power. Allah, with His mercy, allows these days to be lengthened. He allows you to have a period of power. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الضَّلَالَةِ فَلْيَمْدُدْ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ مَدَّا All right, you've got a period, 100 years, 200 years, 500 years. Allah continues the verse, The length of your power will continue. Hatta, until what? Hatta إِذَا رَأَوْا مَا يُعَدُونَ إِمَّا الْعَذَابَ وَإِمَّا السَّاعَةَ Their days will be lengthened. Their power will go on until one of two things occurs. Either they will see that which they are promised with, that which they've been called unto, or the hour comes to them. What does this mean? Their powers will continue until one of two things occur. Either the time of their destruction will occur and they will live long enough to see it, or before they get to see their empire's end, they themselves will meet with their own death. There's only one of two outcomes. Hatta idha ra'u ma yu'aduna imma al'adhaba, either they get the punishment in dunya, wa imma as-sa'ah, or the hour of their death will come to them, and then they get the punishment anyway. Fasaya'lamuna man huwa sharrun makanan wa adha'afu junda, and then you will really know who was the worst with their possessions and weakest in junda, weakest in their armies and forces. They were boasting, we had khayrun maqaman wa ahsanu nadiyya. Allah says, no, 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 you will come to know the outcome. فَسَيَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ شَرٌ مَكَانًا You had the worst of places in this earth. وَأَدْعَفُ junda, and the weakest of armies. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm going to contrast you mu'mineen with these people who boast about their material possessions, thinking their material powers is what gains their authority on earth. Allah says to the believers, you want to know how you outlast them? You want to know how your Medina outlasts the polytheists Mecca? You want to know how the Ummah outlasts this empire and that empire? وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ خلاص. Allah, those who are rightly guided, Allah will increase them in guidance. And the good deeds, the amal salih, that is what is going to remain. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ مَرَدَّا The good deeds are those things which are going to last, outlast all the empires. And that is the thing that will give you the best of thawab and the best fruits as well, even in dunya. Not only will you gain in akhirah, your dunya will become strong as well. I want you to really take a moment and reflect on this, brothers and sisters. If you were recipients of these verses in Medina, Allah is saying, with your own eyes, you see me curtailing the powers of the enemies, it falling down around them. All I'm asking from you is amal khair. And if you want to know what outlasts every power, even if they are the strongest material power on earth, all you need to know, it is amal khair, amal salih. Amal khair, amal salih. That is what will ensure your society outlasts all other empires. This is what the Quran says, brothers. It's not difficult. You would have hoped that the mu'mineen and mu'minat of Medina would have understood this to the same extent that you would hope that we understand this as well. I said yesterday, there's no point pointing at Donald Trump and saying, look at what these people do. Mohammed bin Salman, look at what these people do. Al Khalifa, look at what these people do. If in the reality of things, our actions are no different. There is no point in looking at the people of Medina and the way in which they departed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi if we do not perform the same amal khair that is being demanded upon us in our own times. Now, at this point in the Quran, or in the Quranic study, we need to make our conclusion as to what's happening in this marhala of the development of the people of Medina. As we stated in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is demanding khair, right? We mentioned, he says, do khair. If you don't, I will lift my support for you. And then you're on your own with the Quraysh. I'm sure you've all heard, there is a most important style of tafsir of Quran or tadabbur of Quran called tadabbur mawdu'i. Have you heard of this? Have you come across this, brothers and sisters? Tadabbur mawdu'i. Tadabbur mawdu'i means a thematic approach to reading the Quran. It is the best way to be able to read the Quran. What it means is that when you take any subject in the Quran, you pull together all of the verses about that one subject or that one word to see how Allah Jalla Jalaluhu speaks about that particular topic. Let me give you a simple example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about taqwa. You would pull the verses of taqwa and you would put them like a jigsaw puzzle in order to behold the fullness of the picture of the mawdu', the topic of taqwa. You can do this with any topic. You can do it with multiple topics together. Let's say you said, Ja'far, how do I study the topic of economy in the Quran? I would say to you, you would bring all the verses that speak about the topic of economy, not just the word of economy, iqtisad, because that's a contemporary word, all the verses that speak about that topic in any way, shape or form, bring it together. If you do a tadabbur mawdu'i, you bring all the words together of the word khair in the Quran, there are at least 12 different themes in which a person is supposed to do khair in his community to ensure the community goes from strength to strength to strength. This should be important listening, right? Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says in the Quran, do khair, I'll strengthen your community, I have your back. Don't do it, I'm pulling back my support for you. In those verses in Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's baqiyatu salihat, it's the good deeds that are going to ensure you overcome any power that is out there. Surely the mu'min would immediately want to know, how does Allah Jalla Jalaluhu speak about khair and amal khair in the Quran? This is what I want to do to conclude tonight. I'm going to read to you 12 verses of the Quran that are amal khair. I'm going to ask all of you brothers, take out your phones. Normally, you know, Sheikh says, put the phone away, don't go on Facebook. Yeah, don't go on Facebook. But go to your notes section, go to your text section, and I want you to write down each of these 12 verses where Allah Jalla Jalaluhu relates khair and amal khair to the strengthening of your community. We'll read them. I want you to note them. And in your own time, you reflect on them. In your own time, you read back on them. In your own time, you talk about them with your partners, your family, your friends, your community. And if you want your community to grow to such a power that it can even overcome the strongest military in the world, I want you to be able to see how Allah Jalla Jalaluhu speaks about amal khair in the Quran. Okay. Tadabbur mawdu'i khair. It's mentioned many, many times in the Quran. The word khair is mentioned numerous times, but I've reduced them to 12 subtopics. Okay? Topic number one. The first type of khairiyat. I don't mean charity here, yes? Khairiyat, doing good, amal salih, amal khair, is ensuring you look after the rights of people. Chapter number 30, please write this down, rights of people, chapter 30, verse 88. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Give the rights to the nearest of kin, as well as the needy, the wayfarer. This is better for you. This is khair for you. For all those who seek Allah's countenance, the face of Allah. For it is they that shall attain success. Number one. Number two. Khair is found in receiving and seeking the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, the second theme, protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, don't go and seek your protection from others. Right? The UAE wants to last. Don't make your deals with the illegal, illegitimate state of Israel and thinking your security apparatus will come with a treaty with them. Chapter 12, verse 64. Chapter 12, verse 64. Qala, hal amanukum alayhi illa kama amintukum ala akhihi min qablu. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِذًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Ya'qub alayhi salam said, should I trust you with him in the same way that I trusted you with his brother Yusuf before? Nay, Allah's guardianship is better than any other guardianship, for indeed he is the most merciful of the merciful. The hifadat of Allah is immediately linked to khair. You want khair? Seek the ihtifad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two. Number three. Not being cowardly in front of the enemy. Sometimes we need to be able to present ourselves in the ma'rakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 41 of chapter number 9, Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 41. Everybody's writing this down? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Anfiru khifafan wa thiqalan wa jahidu bil amwalikum wa anfusikum fi sabilillah. Thalikum khayrun lakum in kuntum ta'lamun. Go forth to war. Whether it be easy or difficult for you, strive hard in God's way with your possessions and with your own lives. This is better for you. This is khair for you if you only knew it. Subhanallah. You want your community to survive? Sometimes it requires sacrifice. We're surrounded here by the shuhada. Rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in. That was number? 3. Number 4. Khair comes to you when you refer to Quran, revelation. Chapter 16:16, verse 30. Everybody's noting this down? Barakallahu feekum. When you refer to Quran, there is khair for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, chapter 16, verse 30, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَقِيلَ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا خَيْرًا لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةٌ وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ وَلَنِعْمَ دَارُ الْمُتَّقِينَ. When those who are conscious of Allah, muttaqi, are asked, what is it that your sustainer has bestowed from upon high? What do they say? قَالُوا خَيْرًا لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا. Goodness supreme has come to us from revelation. Good fortune awaits in this world all those who persevere in doing good. But when their ultimate state will be even better than what they have in dunya, how excellent indeed will that state be of those who are God conscious in the life to come. Number 4. Number 5. Khair comes from you struggling with your wealth and possessions in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one, chapter number 61, verse 11. What was the title? Khair comes from struggling in your possessions and your wealth in the way of Allah. Khair comes to you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Chapter number 61, verse 11. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are to believe in Allah and His Apostle. How do you prove that you believe in Allah and His Messenger? Striving hard in God's cause with your possessions and with your lives. This is good for you if you only knew it. Where are we up to? Which number? We've done 5, right? Number 6. Economy and trade. When your community looks after its economy and trade and acts responsibility in its economy and trade justly, Allah says there is khair in this for you, for your community. You will outlast every other community. Chapter number 17, verse number 35. Economy and trade, 17:35. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُوا تَأْوِيلًا. Give full measure whenever you measure, and weigh and balance with what is sound and true. This is khair for you and the best of outcomes. That was number 6. Number 7. How you deal with your disputations and debates. This is important. We know the Ummah constantly goes through its arguments. You have to do things in a certain way. If you do it in this way, Allah says there is khair for you. Your disputes will not bring you down. Chapter number 16:16, verse 126. 16:126. Disputations and debate. وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. Hence, if you have responded to an attack in an argument, someone's attacked you in an argument, respond to the extent of the attack that is leveled against you and nothing more than it. Don't go beyond your bounds. Someone attacks you, you don't go beyond. This is the akhlaq of debate. Don't go beyond, but to bear patiently indeed is better for you. With those who are patient in adversity, this is a better outcome for you. Number 8 now, correct? Number 8, khair comes in your society from honoring the sacred. What you're doing tonight, in these 10 nights, you are honoring the sacred. Chapter number 22, Surah Al-Hajj, verse 30. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ حُرَمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. All this which is ordained by Allah, And if one honors Allah's sacred commandments, it will rebound in better for him, goodness for him, in the eyes of his Lord. SubhanAllah. You all know that when you honor Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the strength it gives you like no other. That was number? That was 8. Number 9. Almost there to 12. Well done, brothers. You're doing phenomenal. And sisters as well, I'm sure. Number 9. Khair comes when you learn how to manage your media and the rumors and allegations that go around in society. We all know how much a poor media can damage a society, right? We all know this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter number 24, verse 11, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. Verily, numerous amongst you are those who would falsely accuse people of unchastity, not being chaste. Think about the principle of what's being said here. Many people will accuse someone of being unchaste, doing something evil. But, O you who have been wronged, falsely accused, deem it not a bad thing for you if you have not done this. Nay, it is good for you. As for the slanderers, unto every one of them, they will be taken to account for everything that they have earned, and an awesome suffering awaits for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is khayrun lakum for you to bear this and deal with this properly. This is a principle. And this is a whole conversation in and itself. But for now, it is khair if you learn how to deal with false accusations and false media in your community. Number 10, sah? Number 10, it is khair for you in your society if you build a culture of God in your society. A culture of godliness in your society. Chapter number 62, Surah Al-Jum'ah, verse number 9, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha nudiya lis-salati min yawm al-Jum'ah, fas'au ila dhikrillah wadharul bay'. Dhalikum khayrun lakum in kuntum ta'lamun. O you who believe, when the call to Friday prayer has been announced, hasten to the remembrance of God and leave your worldly commerce aside. This is khair for you if only you realized it. When you rush to building a society of godliness, there is going to be khair in you. Ihtaasha, number 11, sah? Your social interactions and your hijab. If you organize your hijab and social interactions, this is as much for the brothers as well as for the sisters, Allah says there will be khair in your society. It will outlast other societies. Chapter number 24, verse 27. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha. Dhalikum khayrun lakum la'allakum tadhakkaroon. O you who have believed, do not enter the houses of others unless you have obtained permission first and greeted the people of those houses. This is enjoined upon you for your own good, so that you may bear your mutual rights and protections in mind. Number 12, by last and no means least, putting akhirah as your goal. When you have akhirah as your goal, there will be khair for you and in your society. Chapter number 12, verse 57. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. But in the eyes of those who have attained faith and have always been conscious of Allah, a reward in the life of here to come is even greater than the reward that is in dunya. 12 ayat. There are many more. But we have brought this together. Please understand what is being said. Medina was created off the back of Amal Saleh and Amal Khair. People urged each other to do good. They ran after it. They participated in it. They worked and struggled for it. And in these sets of ayat, which we have really gone through tonight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you will be able to see with your own eyes that when you do amal khair and your society is based on amal khair, those societies which are in opposition to you, you will see them crumbling. And all the things that they lose will end up in your stead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. It is the good deeds that are going to outlast even the most powerful of societies. All of you here, we all want one thing, our nations, communities, to be those that last with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want that to happen, understand these ayat and understand why Medina became so strong in those years, because the believers were doing amal khair before they allowed nifaq to enter into them. If we understand this, we will perform these 12 different categories of amal khair, and our own communities will grow in strength and strength, inshallah. Tonight, we mourn that man who was the best representation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alih in feature, in voice, and in character. Our dhakireen tell us that after the attack on the house of Lady Fatima alayha salam, Bilal al-Habashi radiyallahu anhu had taken an oath upon himself not to recite the Adhan again. But in those dying days of Lady Fatima alayha salam, she longed for a moment to take her back to what it was like under the auspices of her father, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. It is said that she comes to Bilal and says, Ya Bilal, I know that you have taken an oath not to recite the Adhan. Recite it once more. I want to have that feeling again. We are told by the poets that Bilal says that I've made an oath to Allah. How can I break this? When Fatima alayha salam asks something from you, it is by priority stronger than your own oath. We are told he comes and recites that Adhan, and when he recites it, as he recites these takbirat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, when he arrives at the next stanza, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, it is said, Fatima alayha salam collapses in grief. She cannot bear it. It is not just about recalling what it was like under her father. It was the protections that were existing under her father. It was the community spirit and solidarity under the presence of her father. I ask you, O brothers and sisters, if this was the reaction of Fatima alayha salam upon hearing the Adhan of Bilal, what must it have been like for Zainab and Kurthum when they heard the Adhan of Ali ibn al-Akbar, the one whose voice and character and feature most resembled that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. on the morning of the day of Ashura, as the sun is beginning to rise, Ali al-Akbar recites the adhan, his tone of which reminds the entirety of that camp of what it was like under the protection of Rasulullah. I only wonder what was going through the heart of Zainab and Kulthum at this moment, how their heart must have broken at this moment, remembering what it was like at the time of their grandfather, remembering what it was like at the time of their mother, remembering what it was like at the time of their father, and remembering what it was like at the time of their brother Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. The poets say that Ali ibn al-Akbar, when he came to seek permission from his father, he was the first to go out from Banu Hashim. When he came, of course, Husayn ibn Ali told him he must go first. But before, he said to him, go and ask permission from your mother. The poets say, Akbar went to his mother and sought permission. When he came back, he said, oh my father, my mother has given permission for me to go. He said, no, I did not mean this mother. I want you to go and ask Sayyidah Zainab for permission, because she has been like your mother from the time in which you were born. She has brought you up from the time in which you were born. I can only imagine what it must have been like for Akbar to have to depart those tents as the women and children are looking out at the man who most resembles the Prophet. They cannot help but cry out, Wa Akbara, Wa Akbara. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the appearance of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, to allow us to be alongside him at all times in our life and in our death, if we are to pass away from this world. Before his coming, Ya Allah, raise us from our graves so that we can partake in the victories of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Wassalamu alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.